Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, and every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're so glad that you've joined us.
That's right, Dr. Linda. I've spent this weekend wondering, sort of contemplating, have I accomplished anything this weekend? And what about you? Do you feel like
What's the answer? You got to tell us what the answer is to that.
No, haven't done a thing. But what about you? Do you feel like you were successful and got a lot done this weekend?
I think I got a lot accomplished. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, maybe yes, I was successful. Why are you asking about this?
Well, because I think we all feel good when we are successful at what we do, no matter what it is. Well, in terms of success, I was thinking about this. One of the most popular tests used today to try to determine success in the workplace is the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator. It sorts out people according to various thinking styles, such as introversion, extroversion, and thinking, feeling. I've taken that test, Dr. Linda. As it turns out, I am an ENTP. And what about you?
I'm an ENTJ.
Ah, you're one of those people.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Which means we're both extroverts,
right?
So we're looking at that, and we both have the intuitive mm-hmm. factor, which means that we perceive new possibilities.
Right.
And then the difference is where we go into more thinking, feeling.
The P would be a little more perceptual, but the J,
The J is judgmental.
That's
I remember
you.
That. But it's not
right.
judgmental in a bad way.
You're such a judgmental type person.
It means I'm much more precise about things,
I think
is what it means, right? So knowing your personality profile here is great conversation like we're having. People have a lot of fun with this when we talk about it. We actually did this as a team exercise at work,
mm-hmm.
and it was really interesting to see where other people scored on that. I was surprised at how many people were introverts instead of extroverts. Now, I'm telling you, Chris, I took that scale. I'm like probably as far extroverted as you could be on that scale. I've taken that test many times. The theory behind it is a bit outdated. I will tell you that.
Okay.
And it doesn't correlate with actual measures of people's performance. So while it's interesting, there is a study that suggests that the Myers-Briggs is not great at predicting at least managerial success.
So if you want to be a leader, don't take this test.
Well, it's not really saying that. It's just not as predictive of it mm-hmm. as people think.
Well, we did find an article published by University College London who have identified six traits that are consistently linked to workplace success, which they have now combined into a measure called the High Potential Trait Inventory, also known as the HPTI.
Different kind of tests. So we mm-hmm. wanted to look at something different. And since they had six traits, you know, you and I were kind of talking about this. We thought it'd be interesting to look at these traits
mm-hmm.
because they have been found to correlate with success. And that was one of the things we were talking about. We're not saying that this is a single formula for success, or if it was, those people would be making a lot of money.
Oh, right. Yeah.
If you could just do something and you'd be automatically successful. But there are habits and strategies that they're talking about, traits that successful people have that I think you will find very interesting as you're listening.
But there is some caution with these six traits. Let's talk about those.
Like most things in life, Chris, if you have any of these to excess, then they can be used in a very unhealthy way.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about each one of those and what happens when there's excess in that, because you don't want to make your performance worse. And when you do anything to the extreme, I shouldn't say all the time, but typically that becomes problematic. So think of these and ask yourself where you fall on each of them, and then think about what your strengths are and maybe if these are areas that you could work on a little bit.
We're talking about the High Potential Trait Inventory, and the importance of these, of each of these traits, has to do with the type of job you're doing. Let's get into them and begin with trait number one, conscientiousness. Did I say that properly?
You did.
Conscientious. Got it, yes.
Conscientiousness.
Ness.
So say it three times real fast.
I don't think I can.
This one is not a surprise at all, but I do wonder how much people value this trait today. I see this in the workplace as lacking sometimes. You know, people are cheating the system, or they're taking shortcuts, or they're just getting the job done because they just want to get it done and get it over with.
Right.
They're not acting in a conscientious way. But I can't think of a better trait to have, because if you're conscientious, people can depend on you. They know that you're going to get the job done. They know you'll pay attention to what is important. And one of the best things about a conscientious person is that they will just not react to things, but they really do think about the long-term consequences of what they're doing. There is a study that says this is one of the best predictors of life outcomes. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
The conscientious person does well in life because I think they pay attention to the details of what they're doing. One of my bosses has a lot of this trait, and I always know I can depend on him to get that job done with excellence because he's very conscientious in what he does.
Well, dependability goes a long way. I mean, think of any business or organization, and you want to have dependable people working there.
And when you don't, it's really frustrating, isn't it?
When
you're having to think, is the person going to get the job done? Are they going to show up? Are they going to do it right? And a lot of times people have really good intentions. You think, okay, they're saying the right things, but then they don't follow through and they don't deliver. And that is really frustrating.
I've worked with people, or actually someone in particular, who they take this to excess. They were rigid and inflexible.
And that's the downside. This is where we were talking about one of those times when you take a trait to excess and it doesn't work out well. When you're rigid and you're inflexible, you're not really real fun to be around. Did you like working with that person?
No, not really.
Yeah. And thus you are not working with that person anymore.
Good point.
And then there's punctuality. That's part of conscientiousness as well. I came from a German family. I think we've talked about that a few times. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, being on time, Norm, are you shaking your head in that room? He found out really fast with my very German family that you show up on time, whether it's church, a meeting, school, work. My parents just did not tolerate being tardy.
Yeah.
But I think that was a good thing that they taught me, and they always modeled it as well.
I would like to know what my wife's family heritage is, because they're never on time.
And I know people like that. I find that extremely frustrating, personally.
Right.
The issue is when you're not conscientious, it does impact the people around you, and they don't see you as dependable.
Right. Well, before we get to the break, Dr. Linda, you have some questions that might help us think if we are a conscientious person.
Answer these questions for yourself, Chris, and see if I was right.
Okay.
You can't leave anything undone. Is that you?
That's me.
Okay. You're extremely organized.
Pretty much, yes.
When it comes to your work, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You are very organized.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of self-discipline with your work.
I think so, yeah.
I know that this is me because I was recently at a conference out in a very nice climate in a very nice part of the country, and it was beautiful. We had to sit at the conference for 5 hours, and we were dealing with all these real intense things about the opioid crisis and all the things that I'm interested in. But then we had time to play for the rest of the day.
Right.
But I had assignments in psychiatry that I had to grade. And so I sat at that pool. Norm can attest to this, right, Norm? I sat there. I'm conscientious because I sat there and I graded those assignments in this beautiful day at this pool for 3 hours in a row. And I kept saying to him, I want to quit, didn't I? I kept saying, I want to quit, but I know I need to get this done. And if I don't do it now, I'm going to be in trouble.
You sound like lots of fun to be on vacation with, that's for sure.
But that's a sign of conscientiousness. What about the idea for you that appearances are important? You already kind of spoke to that you want to make sure it looks right.
Right.
Is that you?
It is, but then I don't necessarily comb my hair and polish my shoes and all of that.
Well,
the work has to be done right.
The work has to be done. Now, in radio, do people really focus on that?
No, you can't see it.
That could be a part of your job.
Right.
And then your friends and families label you as highly responsible.
They do, yes.
Yeah, so they can always see, I knew you were conscientious. I knew you had that trait.
All right, well, that sounds good. But based on what we've just heard, do you have this first trait of success? Well, hang on. We have 5 more to go right after the break. Trait number 2. Hey, it's Chris from the Dr. Linda Mental Radio Show. Dr. Linda's latest book is titled Living Beyond Pain. It gives practical tools to anyone who is living with chronic pain and wants to get his or her life back on track. Recently, Dr. Linda's listeners had questions about pain, and she answers those questions with tips from her book, Living Beyond Pain.
When I think about how long I've been in pain, it seems so overwhelming, Dr. Mental. Where do I start to make things better?
I love this analogy by the American Chronic Pain Association, Chris. They have a visual. They say pain is like having a car with 4 flat tires. That's not going to go anywhere, is it?
No.
And you need to get all 4 of those inflated and running again. In order to do that, you have to do a lot of things. So the goal is to reduce pain and learn to manage it so you can improve function. Basically, it's to get those tires reinflated so that you can go on with your life and go down the road of life. if we use that analogy. Years ago, there was no British team that ever won the Tour de France. It was like 100 years. They hired a new coach. That coach looked at every little thing about the Tour de France. He looked at the tires on the bikes. He looked at the handlebars, the way the seat was positioned, the color of the bike, how clean the bike was, all these different little tiny things. And he determined that they were going to improve the bikes and the whole experience of riding 1% in every area. And he called this marginal gains. We're going to make marginal gains. We're going to fix this 1%, this 1%. By the time they did all that in 2017, they won the race for the first time in their history. So pain needs a long-haul approach. Do small things, increase and improve things 1% of the time. At the end of that, you will have won the race.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Linda. If you would like a copy of Dr. Linda Mental's book, Living Beyond Pain, go to drlindamental.com, or you can find Living Beyond Pain anywhere books are sold online. Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today's topic is traits that make you successful in life and work. We've got a lot more to talk about, but before we move on, I want to remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. That's where you will find her blogs, books, and you can connect on social media. And Dr. Linda has a new book out. It's called Living Beyond Pain. It helps you navigate pain and get your life back. Lots of great reviews coming out regarding this book, Dr. Linda. One of them is from Daryl Strawberry.
That's right. He endorsed it. He was one of our endorsers for the book. And
right.
I'm excited because the reviews are very positive. People are reading it and saying, I have hope. Mm-hmm. Thank you for all the tools that you're giving me. This is really great. Someone finally understands chronic pain. So it's been a really great thing to see that so many people who suffer are finally getting some help.
Well, on today's program, traits that make you successful in life and work. And we've been through trait number one. It's time for trait number two. This one's called adjustment. What do you mean by adjustment?
This is really your ability to make adjustments in life and at work when you're faced with a lot of tension, anxiety, things are changing, and you have to be able to pivot and adjust and cope with difficulties and change under pressure, which a lot of times happens, without allowing all the negative around you to influence your behavior or your decision-making during that time. If you can adjust to the changes in a work environment, and I would say even in a family environment, right? Then you're going to be more successful.
And if you have trouble making adjustments, you'll see poorer performance.
That's what the research says. It says that it does make a difference because you get stuck on the changes and not on your response to those changes. We don't always like change at the workplace. In fact, I'd like it to stay stable for a little bit of time once in a while. But to be successful, you really do have to learn to roll with those changes.
And that's tough. No one likes to make these types of changes.
Well, some environments at work and some families, it's the same way. There's just constant turmoil and upheaval and change. And it's difficult in those environments if you're not really flexible in this area.
Is adjustment related to change? Is it a mindset? And what I mean by this is, do I need to look at life and work in a way that says, look, things are not always going to go my way, and I need to be flexible and adjust?
Exactly. That's really where we're going with this, because if you can adapt and adjust and see each of those stressful things as a potential for growth. Now, sometimes I say to myself, I really don't want all these potentials for growth. There's just too much going on there. But the bump in the road, whatever that might be, if you don't view it as a threat, but rather an opportunity to grow, you're going to do better. If you can develop that type of growth mindset, and we have a show on growth mindset.
You're
we talk
right.
about that all the time.
We do, right.
You can recover from bad situations more quickly when you have a growth mindset because you're thinking, Chris, okay, this, I didn't like this. This was tough. How can I pivot? How can I adapt to this and move on?
I can think of so many times where I've been disappointed with a decision or a direction at work. And if I didn't make the adjustment, I would just sit and ruminate about how bad things were.
I tend to do that sometimes. I need to develop that growth mindset.
It makes us fun to be around when we
yes.
do. It's easy to do. Just get stuck and complain about family or work rather than just adjust to the environment and the changes.
When you can't pivot and you can't go another direction, you get stuck. That's what we're saying. You know, so often the boss isn't going to change or the friend isn't going to change, and you just have to adjust to the situation rather than hoping and wishing it will change. Now, I do that a little bit. I wish it would change. I'll say, boy, if it was like this, it'd be so much easier. But if you get stuck in that mode, then it's problematic. Now, this doesn't mean that you don't take a stand on important issues, But from a day-to-day point of view, your ability to adjust to whatever happens during that day is going to really help your mental health, and it's also going to make your performance more successful.
What do you think about asking ourselves how much we adjust, or do we just stay upset and get stuck?
I think that's great. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really good thing to just assess it in your own life. And as I was thinking about this show, I was thinking, yeah, I'm doing better in this area, but I think I can have some room to grow. Here's how it's gotten better for me, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with my faith walk. And as
right.
I sit and I think in the morning about what I'm going to face for that day, and I know that there are going to be lots of changes and lots of challenges, I really have to get to the point where I'm trusting God. And it's a little bit like Peter walking on the water. There were lots
right.
of storms around him. He was going out towards the Lord. And as soon as he took his eyes off of the Lord, he began to sink.
Right.
And that analogy is so powerful for our mental health, because once we get our eyes off of God and onto those circumstances, it really is difficult. So it really does require a big trust in the Lord.
Well, so far we've talked about being a conscientious person and being able to make adjustments. What's the third trait of a successful person?
This one is being able to tolerate ambiguity.
What?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. I admit this is a hard one for me. I like to know the plan. I like to know where I'm going. I like things that are predictable. I like things that are well-defined. I grew up in a very structured, mm-hmm. stable home.
It's that German thing again.
It is.
Right.
But, you know, ambiguity is hard for me.
Well, me too. I feel the same way. I hate it when things aren't answered, aren't taken care of. If there's no answer right now, it drives me nuts.
So we need to sit with that, is what this trait is telling us. We need to
wow.
sit and tolerate it.
Predictability is good in terms of getting you organized and reaching goals. But the question is, how do you react to things that are uncertain or even unknown? And my ears are open. I'm ready for this one.
Well, it is how we react to it. It's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of ambiguity in our life, whether we like it or not. So again, we have to walk by faith when we can't see the certainty of something. And in reality, we're always looking through a glass darkly. That's what Scripture tells us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have to have faith because faith is about what we don't see. In some ways, we're challenged in our day-to-day work life and family life when we have a lot of ambiguity, because it's making us dependent on the Lord. But the type of ambiguity that we're talking about allows you to listen to many viewpoints before coming to a decision. I had a coworker, Chris, who looked like he tolerated ambiguity, but the reality is he can't make a decision for fear of being wrong.
Right.
So he looked like he was great with all this uncertainty and ambiguity, but he was actually really afraid to make decisions. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being able to tolerate ambiguity until more information is gathered, until you have more to figure out what's going on and before you make a decision.
And maybe not be so opinionated or dogmatic until you have a better understanding of the situation.
Right. There isn't always a clear path. We've been saying that. And if you're going to keep your sanity, sometimes you just have to tolerate and wait for things to get clearer. And you have to get some input from other people along that process too. So a real good way to use your time when you're trying to tolerate ambiguity is talk to a lot of people and get a lot of input.
Dr. Linda, that's not me. I like things. I like them clear and defined with an answer.
Well, then you're going to be frustrated a lot.
That's correct.
Right. So be patient, and maybe in time, things will get clearer. In the meantime, there are times when we have to just live with that type of ambiguity. And I know it's tough when you're doing new things, especially, and you really don't understand what's going on.
Right.
Most things we deal with in life, though, are just very complex. It's hard to have a single solution to something, so sometimes that waiting period is really good for us until we get more input.
This reminds me of creative types. Creative people seem to do fine when things are up in the air. Maybe that helps their creativity.
I've noticed that. I've noticed that creative people seem to just flow with it
right.
a whole lot better, even when it isn't clear. That's not our public school system, which, you know, puts the pressure, I think, and the thumb on people who are creative, because
right.
it's all about conforming to a certain thing. So to avoid this, you want to start brainstorming ideas. You want to allow for a lot of ideas without feeling like you have to have an immediate solution or get rigid in coming up with something. And that's a lot of what creative people do.
I have found at work, when it comes to problem solving, not being narrow-minded and listening to all of the input seems to help.
That's what's tied to success. That's what this research is telling us. And then after you listen to many people, you do have to choose a direction. You do have to make a decision. But good leaders usually wait, stay open, tolerate ambiguity for a period of time
right.
until they get enough information to make that decision.
And then if you don't do this, there is the risk of becoming more like a dictator in your family or at work.
So there is the extreme form of that. Mm. That's the big fallout, being rigid, needing things to be simple and your way. Now, in certain lines of work, that may not be a drawback. So if you're in charge of regulations or hospital safety,
right.
I just want you to, you know, be real clear, be rigid, get the guidelines focused on and get people doing what they're supposed to do. Same with an architect. You don't want them to be highly creative in the middle of designing your house and once they've submitted the plans, right? You want them to stick to the program. So some jobs, it's good to be precise. But in many jobs, if you can tolerate ambiguity, it's going to help you with success.
Right. If you're flagging traffic, that's not a time to make,
be creative.
To make suggestions.
Exactly.
Well, before we get to the break, let's move on to trait number four. To be successful, one needs to be curious.
Mike Rowe, do you know him?
Oh, yeah.
Remember
he's
him?
Great.
Best known for his gig on the host of Dirty Jobs. Mm-hmm. He traveled all over the United States, and as we all know with the show, that he did all these different jobs and was learning how to do things. He literally got his hands dirty. That's where the title comes from. Mm-hmm. By doing a whole lot of things. He knows a little bit about something, and he learned new skills on the fly. He says that the key to learning new skills and becoming more versatile is curiosity. So being interested in new ideas is definitely a success trait. And it speaks to that creativity we were just talking about. It helps you be more flexible and you learn more when you're curious.
It can help reduce burnout.
It can. Studies support that idea. The research shows that by being curious, it's associated with higher levels of positive emotions, lower levels of anxiety, more satisfaction with life, and greater psychological well-being.
Mm, those are good benefits. And curious people are usually imaginative, too.
So again, looking at the research with that, children who have a good imagination grow up to be more creative as adults. Curiosity and imagination are sort of two sides of the same coin. Imaginative and curious people also tend to be more innovative in business, and they do well in life.
And curious people are generally just more interesting to be around, too. But to the extreme, I've seen very curious people go from project to project and never really get anything done. That would be a downside.
That's that extreme use of that trait again. But overall, we're saying be curious. You'll be more interesting to people. You'll be more emotionally intelligent when you're curious. And you'll have better social relationships. So there's a ton of good benefits with curiosity.
Well, we have two more traits to go when it comes to being a successful person. And we want to tell you what is most important for success from a spiritual perspective. Stay with us on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Are your priorities all out of line? Are you running through the kitchen because the sight of dishes in the sink is more than you can bear? Or avoiding the laundry room for fear a pile of dirty jeans will jump up and grab you? Are extra hours spent at work or outside commitments taking a toll on your home and family? Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor. And if this sounds anything like your house, you may have a priority problem. Getting your priorities in line might feel like trying to rein in a bucking bronco, but it can be done. Here are a few keys. Take small steps. Don't try to attack laundry and housekeeping all at once. Spread the work out and enlist the help of family members. And don't put things off. Piling another dish and a cup in the sink won't help. Instead, try and stay ahead by handling cleaning up more regularly. Look, we all have occasions when we have to hurry off and leave a job or two undone. But if this is your habit, you may need a priority adjustment. And you can do it one step at a time.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and Dr. Linda has written numerous books that you can find on her website or online. Her latest is Living Beyond Pain, a book that provides a holistic approach to pain management and will help you get your life back. We have two more traits to go that involve successful people, and the next one involves courage.
To be successful, you have to have an ability to deal with very difficult situations and then take action when you need it, and that's where the courage comes in. Even when you face opposition, you can't always shy away from it. Even though it's unpleasant, it takes courage to face difficult problems in life.
Right. It is unpleasant. It's very uncomfortable. And that is hard for a lot of us because you get beaten up when you have the courage to take an unpopular stance.
That's right.
It's uncomfortable. And it does take courage to take a risk. Can you give some examples of what that might look like to have courage at work?
It takes courage to admit to a supervisor that you've made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It takes courage to give credit to other people and not take the credit for yourself. It takes courage to hold yourself to standards and accountability when other people aren't doing that. And it takes courage to report someone who is scamming the system or who is acting unethical. That's courage. Did you know, Chris, that Albert Einstein once said, "I have no special talent. I'm only passionately curious." Boy, look what he did.
So what you're saying then is curiosity doesn't kill the cat.
That's right.
Right. But it does help us be successful. Well, let's look at the last trait. This is number 6. It's competitiveness.
And there's a fine line with this one between personal success and caving into jealousy and being competitive in a very unhealthy way. You know, you have to have the right motive with this. If you're being competitive at work in order to bring new ideas and help a team, that's one thing. But when people do unhealthy things to get a competitive edge, that's the negative.
Right.
I'd rather try, actually, Chris, to be collaborative. So I would change this trait. They're not asking me, but I would change it to collaborative versus competitive and work to help everyone rise together. I would say just be really cautious with this trait.
Well, maybe it's a good reminder then to think of all of these traits in the context of our faith.
Really, any measure of success has to do with keeping, and we know this, Christ is the center in everything that we do. We should be all about doing our Father's business and doing it for His glory, not our own.
It's a little countercultural. It's all about me and what I can accomplish. Success is measured in material things.
And people of faith don't do that. We measure success in terms of eternal value.
Right.
Our greatest success may be pouring into the lives of others, mentoring them, helping them. Scripture tells us that whatever we do in word or deed, we need to do it all in the name of the Lord.
And the Apostle Paul said that he boasted in Christ alone, and what Christ has done through his life, not anything he had done.
And that's the key when we're talking about this. While we can do things and have these traits that help us with success, you know, we can focus on those traits, try to build those traits in our lives. We need to be mindful that every good thing, every blessing, including success, comes from the Lord. The person of faith measures success by how well we love others, how often we speak up for the cause of Christ despite the costs, how well we serve each other. So as we end the show, think about the 6 traits we've mentioned. Are you curious? Are you conscientious? Competitive in a healthy way? Do you also have the qualities of being able to adjust, to accept and tolerate ambiguity? And can you take risks when you need to? But most of all, do you measure your actions according to God's word? And do you do it all in the name of the Lord? Do people know you by your love? Ultimately, what we do for Christ is what lasts. And that is what is true success. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.